Welcome to the Metamorph Her Sis podcast. My name is Nordia Shireen, and I'm so excited to invite you on my journey of growth. Change is constant and can be difficult, but experience has taught me that it is necessary. I pray for the discernment to navigate my faith, my fears, and my growth, and I hope to encourage you, whether you're in caterpillar or butterfly season, that a win is a win at any time. So as you begin to feel uncomfortable, too big, too small, too wide, or like you can't fit, metamorph her, sis. Hey, 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 and welcome back to the Metamorph Her Sis podcast. My name is Nordia Shireen, and you have been brought back to the vibes on a frequency that you have been missing for a while. I'm sorry, I've been gone, and I apologize, but I am back, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to bring you content that you truly deserve. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for waiting with me and supporting me and cheering me on while I figured life out. Now I'm here back and ready to teach you some of the lessons that I learned while I was growing. Okay, so today we are going to have a solo freestyle episode, and I'm hoping you guys are going to enjoy. I know that I haven't done this in a while. I'm hoping it's not too boring. Now, first things first, if you guys remember clearly, last pod, I was still struggling with sound and trying to figure out the right way to get you guys content that you can listen to with minimal background noise and the kind of sound quality that you truly deserve. I went and took myself down to Target. Yes, y'all, to Target. And I went and got me a little new mic and some little new gadgets. And I'm hoping that the content is contenting. Okay? So I am so happy to be back. And let's see if we can get into our first part of the pod. Now, normally in the first segment, I kind of read a question. I don't know if you remember, but I bought this beautiful card game called Self Love from Target, and it's really good. It has three different sections: past, present, and future. So ideally, you pick a card out of the sections and you answer the questions. We're going to pick a card out of each section today, and I'm going to answer the questions truthfully and honestly. Okay, so let me pull out a pass. And past question is, what forced you to grow, even if it was hard? I think the thing that really forced me to grow was ideally moving out on my own. Yes, y'all, your girl got her own little place. And that really forced me to grow. I'm talking about budgeting, making sure I pick up after myself. You know when you live with family and they're always telling you, oh, you left this here, you left that there, and you was like, oh, no, it's not me, it was this person, it was that person. Yeah, well, when you living alone, you got nobody to blame it on. You start being like, oh my gosh, girl, you really was leaving stuff all over the house. So I think that forced me to grow, forced me to put on my big girl panties and say, listen, you got to get it together. And do I have it together yet? The jury's still out. So, yeah, I think that was definitely what forced me to grow for sure. Let's choose the next one. So we're going to go to present. What about you is easy to love? I think the easiest thing to love for me, what people love about me, is that like my energy is very soothing and nurturing and welcoming. Now, there might be some people listening like, girl, you is really not that welcoming. But ideally, I can be a little frontish if I don't know you. But if I know you and you're my friend, you're my family, I'm definitely welcoming and soothing. And I think that's the easiest thing for people to love about me is that when you get around me, I genuinely do not care. And not like I don't care about you, but I just genuinely do not care about like how you live up to societal expectations, what you're doing, what mistakes you're making. I do not care. All I care about is you and how you're navigating those things. And I think I show up in a very empathetic way. And people love that about me. It's like, girl, you a hoe? Me too. Girl, you broke? Me too. So it's like, you know, I've never understood how people could like judge other people and not really create space for people to be their authentic self. And it's so funny that I'm talking about that because that's kind of what I wanted the pod to be about today, is showing up as your authentic self. And we'll get into that soon. But let me go on and choose the next card, which is in the future section. And let's see what it says. What do you hope is still true in 5 years? In 5 years, I hope that my feelings about my work and helping people and showing up for people and being empathetic is still true. Like, I am currently in the counseling field, so I'm a therapist, and I truly see everyday burnout and what that looks like for someone in the helping field. I pray and hope that in 5 years, I will not be burnt out. I will not be disinterested in what my clients, friends, or families are going through, but I will still show up empathetically and in unconditional positive regard, wanting to create a safe place for people to land, which is also what this podcast is about. It is not about choosing a side, judging you, or telling you what you need to do. It's about us sitting and having a conversation about growth, fear, and faith. And how do we navigate life in a way that is fulfilling, purposeful, and honoring to God? So, yeah, that's the questions. It's going to take a little while for me to get back comfortable on the mic, I'm sure. It's been such a long time. And honestly, I think my personality has calmed down in the past couple of years. It's actually been years since I last recorded. So I'm hoping that you guys are giving me a safe place to land and allowing me to show up as my authentic self. Okay. Recently, the idea of showing up as my authentic self has came to mind numerous times. Like, I've been constantly reflecting on myself, my life, my past, and my present, and thinking and saying to myself and deciding that I don't want to go anywhere where I can't be me. And for so many people, that may ring true. Like, we all say that. Like, I don't want to go nowhere where I'm not accepted. I don't want to go nowhere where I can't be myself. But so many times we literally go into environments where we cannot be ourselves. We go into environments and we shrink. We get into relationships and we expand or shrink too. We do all these things in order to be accepted by our peers and colleagues, our family, our friends, and society. I cannot tell you the last thing I did without thinking about what somebody would think about it. I mean, I'm constantly worried about how someone may perceive me. And I think a lot of people like has coined the term like the fear of perception, the fear of being perceived. Yeah. Because it's almost like no matter what somebody thinks about me, I kind of get still anxious about it. It's like if they think I'm great, I'm like, how long are they going to think that? Will that even last? Am I really that great, or am I going to let them down in this high expectation that they have for me? Or if they think I'm like terrible, I'm like, man, why do they think I'm terrible? What can I do to be better? What can I do to make them see that I'm a great person? And it's kind of gotten to a point where it's like, frick away with that man. oh gosh, I'm tired. You know, it's so exhausting showing up, trying to be somebody else when you could just show up as yourself. I mean, geesh, like just be you, you know, and people will microaggressively tell you that you're not allowed to be yourself. It's all in those little like, oh, that's what you did, or that's what you're doing, or I'm not really into that. Like those little things are people telling you like you can't be yourself. And my thing about it is, it's like you cannot change anybody's perception of you. We so very much want to change someone's perception of us. We want them to look at us a different way. Like we've all had that one friend that throws a little shade, right? You know, and instead of like setting a boundary and saying like, huh, maybe I shouldn't like hang out with this person on a personal level. Maybe this should be just like a group friend. We end up like pushing ourselves to continue and maintain that friendship, which ideally is draining us in the end. It's like, what friendships are you holding on to, which is draining you? If you hang out with somebody and you leave that not feeling energized, and I'm not saying physically because you'll go out and you get tired, but I'm saying mentally and emotionally. If you leave connecting with somebody and you feel less and you don't feel filled, that is an indication of there needs to be some kind of boundary set. There needs to be some kind of reflection or like change in how you interact with those people. Like, don't be around people draining you. Like, that's as simple as it could get to me. And we stay in these environments. Like, when you do that, you're slowly chipping away at who you are. And ideally what happens is you get to a point where you don't even know who you are. You're constantly showing up as who people want you to be, and you lose yourself in the process. So when I thought about being your authentic self, like that could mean anything, you know, but I really want to specify what that actually looks like. Being your authentic self looks like being in a space where you can be honest about how you're feeling and what you're going through. Now, a lot of people say that they're strong, they don't really need to share, and they don't really need to tell people how they're feeling. And there might be somebody listening to this pod right now, like, oh, like, you know, I don't really need to share what I'm going through. Like, most people look at me as the person to like kind of help everyone else, and I don't really have that time to really share what I'm going through, or I don't really care to share what I'm going through. Can I just say that ideally you think it's you not sharing, but unconsciously you've severed and like observe the environment that you're in and realize it's not a safe place to share. And that does not always mean that the people around you are mean and are not going to accept you. But what I've realized is that a lot of times they're not capable of filling you in the way that you're able to fill them. We are like around people all the time, and people of multiple perspectives and various backgrounds and different dispensations of gifts and the ability for us to assess and be aware of what's going on. And a lot of times when we've assessed that the people we have in our environment is not capable of filling us up, we shut up. And boy, do I shut up. I mean, I be quiet. And it's just like, it's kind of bad because it's almost like you're constantly putting yourself in a place to resent your environment, because eventually you kind of start thinking to yourself, well, nobody cares. And it's not that nobody cares. It's just, they are not at the capacity to fill you up. Find yourself in an environment or around people who have the capacity to fill you up and to add things and pour into your life in the way that you're capable of pouring into theirs. Because in the end, you'll end up drained and in a state of self-pity that doesn't really serve you. So that's one of the things that I wanted to touch on in terms of being your authentic self, being able to share your feelings. Like if you are around a group of people and you're having a bad day and you don't feel safe to say that, that is a flag. That is a red flag. Red flag. You know, so like really think about the people that you're around and say to yourself, can I really share this with them? Are they capable of refilling me in a way that would refresh, rejuvenate, and energize me and bring me back to where I need to be? Because sometimes we do attempt, and I really want to talk to people who have been attempting, because we make an effort, you know. I've made an effort. You know, I've had people in my life where I've tried to share really serious things with them about how I was feeling, maybe having feelings of depression or having feelings of anxiety, having feelings of low self-esteem, feeling abandoned, feeling stressed out, overwhelmed. And I could see that they wanted to be there for me, but they did not know how. And I would never blame someone for being incapable of meeting my needs, but I must adjust myself to find or put myself in a position for my needs to be met. So at some point, there's an accountability that has to happen where you say, like, listen, this is not serving me, and I have to be somewhere where I can be filled as well. Does it mean that you cut people out of your life? No. Does it mean that you never talk to them again? Absolutely not. What it means is that you have to find balance and create an equilibrium in your life where you can find people who can fill you up and pour into you in the way that you deserve to be poured into. You know how, like, the old people would say, you know, you got to know who you're letting on your gallery, and you have to know who you're letting in your bedroom. Like, you have to know who you'll let on the front porch, who could just come in the yard, and who could come in the bedroom. It's the same idea behind that. The idea of different friends serve different purposes. And so really taking a look at the purpose that a friend you may have serves. How do you feel after being around them, hanging out with them, etc.? And sometimes the feelings that come up may not be the best. Sometimes you leave hanging out with a friend and you feel insignificant. Sometimes you leave hanging out with a friend and you feel judged. Sometimes you leave and you don't feel anything at all, right? It's important that we look into those feelings to decipher what we need and what we need to shift. So that was one of the first things I wanted to bring up in terms of being authentic and being in environments where you can be your authentic self, is how do you feel around those people? And are you able to share your true feelings in those environments? Another thing that I've learned in terms of showing up as my authentic self is to really be aware of myself. A lot of times I'm in an environment and have no idea that I'm unconsciously people-pleasing. Sometimes my social battery is extremely low and I'm still trying to entertain. I'm still trying to keep my energy up. I'm still trying to put on this mask where I am fun and happy and energetic. And a lot of times I notice that I would start blaming people for how I felt after, but it was no one's fault but my own. You know, girl, you don't have to say yes to every single thing. You don't have to be down for every single thing. You went to dinner, they're going to an after party, you don't want to go. Say no. You know, they always invite you to parties and you never get invited to the art gallery. You never get invited to the calm beach flex. Say no. Because ideally, someone else has already determined what role you're playing in their life. And you don't think you're worthy of determining what role they play in yours. You know, every day you have to wake up and choose yourself. Not every day, every hour, every minute. Every minute, every hour, see me choose. Ooh, that's for all my Baptist listeners. But yeah, you have to like continuously be aware of how you're feeling. The moment we show up as our authentic piece, it's like our authentic self. It's like a weight has been lifted off out of us, and we're able to truly experience life from our own lens and our own perspective. So start taking record and note of how you feel in the spaces that you enter. The only person who can determine what you need apart from God is you. And when we look into, like, you know, what God wants us to do and who he wants us to be, his word talks about being with like-minded people all the time. God always wants us to align ourselves with people with similar visions, values, and beliefs. Not that we won't be around people with opposing values and beliefs, but the idea is that in your intimate spaces, in your safe spaces, you have to be around someone who is of the same mind and belief as you. Without that, they truly cannot fill you up. They truly cannot pour into you. And whatever they do would not be of sustenance and nutrition. You know how you could just be eating a lot, but still have ate things with no nutritional value? It's kind of like the same thing. It's like you can be out all the time, have several friends, be very popular, you know, have so much plans, your calendar, you're booked, you're busy, and you end up still feeling lonely, drained, and depressed. I did a pod when I first was starting, and I think it was called, like, I Think I'm Lonely, and it was like the same idea. I was going through this, like, in a room full of people and not feeling like seen or heard or understood or, you know. And from then to now, I've realized that the shift in my spaces, the shift of who I allow in my space, has caused me to feel a little bit more fulfilled. So I'm hoping that you'd be able to like listen to this and start thinking, who do I need to adjust and what do I need to shift in my environment, in my spaces, so that I know and I feel like I'm living in my authentic truth. Another thing that I thought about when I was thinking of showing up in authentic selves, I kind of thought about the dating world and how we're expected to like really, really, really show up as whatever this person may desire or want of us. It's like you meet someone and you go through all this like interview listing of processes. And I'll give you my hot take. My hot take is like, I don't care to know all of that when I first meet someone. And I know somebody, a dating guru or, you know, an auntie or somebody is going to say, like, that's terrible. That's not intentional. You know, that's a bad idea. Like, when I meet somebody, I'm all about the vibes. Like, I don't care to know if you got a job, if you this, if you that. As long as I know you're not going to kill me. I'm kind of okay. Like, I'm trying to peep the vibe. I'm trying to check the frequency, you know, and I don't know if that's like part of like just who I am spiritually, just wanting to check energy. That's something that I prioritize, or maybe I may be onto something. I don't know. But my thing is this, it's like we start off with this interview process, and all this interview process is prompt the other person to then go into, this is what I need to do. And not everybody's like that. You know, some people ideally would hear what you say and then respond accordingly if they are secure in who they are and tell you what matches and what doesn't. But majority of the time, that is not the case. And the idea behind that is that, like, you unconsciously begin to try to match what this other person desires or what they request or what they want. Do not do that. Then you're not living in your authentic truth. You end up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years deep in a relationship with someone who doesn't know you. And those are one of the most frustrating things, because we normally see it like 6 months to a year into relationships. People start saying like, oh, you know, this is not what I thought I was getting into. This is not who I thought you were. I thought this was something different. And ideally, I truly believe it's because in that first process, we prioritize kind of checking off everything that this person has. Now, am I saying it's not important? I'm not saying that. It definitely is important. But do you want to actually get to know someone? Or are you just trying to, like, I don't know, match, you know, tick off a box? It's almost like, if the true way to getting to know in someone is spending time with someone and time and et cetera and seeing them in different environments, why do we expect that when the first date happens and we ask all these questions that we automatically know which direction things are going to go? We don't. We really don't. So I think another key to showing up as your authentic self is to sometimes just let things be. Just be yourself and trust your gut. Trust you. Trust your decisions. Trust who you are. Because whatever is to be, will be. Whatever God has placed on you, in you, and around you has been divinely orchestrated for your good. So if it's happening, let it happen and be yourself so that you would be able to truly discern whether or not something is right for you, you know? And it's really with the little things, like, girl, if you got a scandalous laugh, let it laugh out, man. Don't be sitting there at that table acting like you don't, you're like, oh my God. Like, girl, you don't laugh like that. Girl, you do not laugh like that, because I heard you last week. You don't sound so. So just, like, be yourself. Be yourself. You go on a date and you want a burger? Girl, please don't get the salmon. Girl, get the burger. Eat your food. You eat with your fingers? Eat with your fingers. Like, there's a transparency in that would only lead to your security in your relationship. If you show up being all kind of things, then you would doubt if someone actually cared for you. So save yourself the trouble, save yourself the doubt, Save yourself the questions and just be yourself. One of the most difficult things about showing up as our authentic selves is accepting ourselves. If you don't accept you, there's no way you're going to think it's safe enough to be yourself. You have to accept the person that you are and the things that you value and the things that you want before you can bring that to someone else or any environment. Obviously, if you don't value who you are, you would never put it on display. You'd hide it, you know? And for some weird reason, like that whole scripture, "What put your light on a hilltop," came to mind. And I know it's about, you know, ideally we speak on it in like this role modeling sense of displaying Christian character and good moral characteristics so that men would see it and then, you know, believe and trust in God. But ideally, God wouldn't be asking us like not to be ourselves. And to be a light on a hilltop, you have to consider, have you even cultivated that light? Is that light actually there? And do you value that light? Because many of us have cultivated it and done the work and gotten to know our true selves and is on the path of true self-discovery. But the society we live in, it doesn't glorify that. It doesn't want you to be yourself. It doesn't want you to be in these ways, to live in faith, to live in conviction. It doesn't. And so many times we get on that hilltop, but not with our light. And so the idea is that you cultivate the light, which is accepting yourself, building relationship with yourself, and figuring out who you are and heading on the path of self-discovery. And then once you've cultivated that, you have to be secure enough in order to trot up some hill, right? Break your back and get up on some hill. And that is a state of vulnerability, right? Because when you're on a hill, there is no blind spots. Everyone can see everything. And you have to be secure in order to get up there and be like, this is all of me. If you can do that, once you get to that hilltop and you shine that light, it's the possibility that the right people will see you. And so I know I'm bringing scripture and using it for like a dating analogy, but I do think it fits, you know. Men would see the good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. Can I just say that every situation where even if you have cultivated your light and put it on a hilltop and aren't transparent and living in your truth does not mean that that would lead to the glorification, does not mean that it would lead to the end result that you want. Some people simply prefer to live in darkness. Some people prefer to abstain from light and to not look into light. So not being able to get the glorification that comes with sharing that light means that you need to be living in a more secure way and be okay that you may be for some people and you may not be for others. I've had a tough time being okay with not being for people. It's been difficult to really say to myself like, or know that someone does not like me, or someone doesn't care for me, or someone doesn't agree with me, and sit in that. That has been so hard. I mean, like, why? Like, why don't you like me? I'm amazing. But it is a truth that we have to accept, is that we are not for everyone, and everyone won't like us, and everyone won't appreciate our light and appreciate our vulnerability and appreciate our transparency and our realness and our authenticity. Everyone won't be here for it, you know? And how you navigate disapproval, oh man, it's so important, because it definitely determines how you move in your life and how long you're able to stay authentic. So understand that navigating disapproval and dislike and side eyes and snarky comments and rejection is a part of it, you know? All that's in it. So you gotta be able to really be secure in who you are, you know? God's word says that we are beautifully and wonderfully made. And so it is an affirmation to repeat to yourself, to lead to your own self-security, not just in who you are, but in who God is. I've been in the state of mind where I've been really clinging on to the mantra of, like, if I really believe in God, then I don't need to be doubting this, right? If I really trust God, then I don't need to be getting worked up. And I know it's such a simple phrase, but it's so powerful, because, like, if you really did, like, if you really, really did believe in God and really trust Him, nothing would be nothing. And everything would be nothing. Because He has the final say in our lives. And the beauty in that is that He's given us hints on the final say. The final say is that we are above and not beneath. The final say is that He has created for us a promised land where we would be in no more sorrow and no more pain and no more weeping. The final say is that He knows the plans that He has for us, plans to prosper us. So when you think about these things and you think about the end result, just know, if it's not working together for your good, and if it's not matching up to what God has declared for you and your life, then baby, you're just still in the process. And so if you're still in the process, that is something to be magnificently ecstatic about. You are still in process. And everything that's happening to you right now is working together for your good. Every single letdown, heartbreak, abandonment, disappointment, all of it is working together for your good. I mean, if we looked at things from that perspective, how much more empowered we would walk through our life. Like, I ain't know Jesus did CBT, okay? If we change our thought perspective, you lose $100, yeah, it's working together for my good, you know? God said I would be the head and not the tail. I would be the lender and not the borrower. I'm just in the process. Imagine your attitude for the rest of the day after losing that $100 bill, as opposed to, oh my God, I just lost $100. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh my goodness, I'm not getting paid until another 2 weeks. I got the bills to do. I got to get this for my kid. I got to do that, right? It changes the entire order of your day. So part of living as your authentic self is not just self-reflecting on how you feel and the environments that you put yourself in and the people that you place yourself around, but thoroughly, thoroughly looking into and exploring what God has said to you and about you. And once you've been able to really cement that and his idea into your brain, you would be able to walk through life way more empowered. And so now when I go through things and I have a difficult time and I, you know, question myself and my value, and if I'm really, you know, all that of a person, if I really am deserving of friends, if people actually want to be around me, I have a different perspective because I know what God says about me. And what he says about me is amazing things. And if he said all those things, and if I'm amazing, then what am I worried about? I'm just in process. So I really think that I want to leave you to hold on to that and think about that until our next pod, is that you're still in process. And part of being authentic to who you are is exploring who God says you are. Because, baby, you didn't make yourself, right? So you have to go look into your roots. Look into, we all be so quick to do 23andMe and all them DNA tests because we want to see where we're from and how much percent of this we are and how much percent of that we are. Start looking into how much percent of whatever God says you are is. Look into how he has blessed you with the fruits of the spirits, the blessing that he has proclaimed and declared upon your life. And notice how knowing those things about yourself change your perspective and your outlook on your life. Thank you so much for listening in today and bearing through it with me as I tried to get my life together on this podcast. Thank you for listening to Metamorphosis. This is Nordia Shireen, and if you are feeling like you can't fit or you're too big or too small, metamorphosis. Until next time, bye.